Hey, everybody. Today I'm going to read the scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 32. It says, "In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this manner. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world."
I was going to interpret.
If you carry a Bible with you, you'll want to open to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we just read. We're going to jump into this text and talk about it a little bit. Communion is an interesting concept. It's called communion. It's called the Lord's Supper. It's called the Eucharist. Depending on how you grew up, you see it different ways. That's been my general understanding as I've studied the different way different churches or different denominations celebrate communion. Some churches celebrate communion as something they do very sparingly, every once in a while, once every quarter, or once every year, or whatever. They do it every once in a while so that it's a big event. It's called Communion Sunday. Other churches, like this one, do it weekly. Some churches hardly do it at all. And so just the frequency is one of those things that people have decided for themselves. I'm going to tell you up front, the frequency is not given to us scripturally. Just make that clear to you. We don't know how often he intended when he said, "As oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, do it in remembrance of me." We don't have that answer. We could make some conclusions, but I'm not going to do that. That's not the purpose of this. What I do want you to understand is that we, in this time, in modern times, see communion way different than the early church saw it. You have to understand, for the first 300 years of the church history, the communion was the central part of the gathering. It was the reason that they gathered. They would come together for the purpose of doing or partaking in this communion together. And so this is what they did. It was an event. And they would come together and they would eat and they would drink together and they would remember the Lord's death until he comes. And so Paul writes this letter to the church in Corinth. You have to understand a lot about Corinth. This is one messed up church, not like us. I often wonder how Paul would start a letter to us. You ever wonder that? You know, Paul wrote a lot of letters. He wrote a letter to the church in Rome, and he starts his letter with this great introduction and tells them that they are loved by God, and it's just beautiful. And then, you know, first the Corinthian church, the Galatian church, the Ephesian church, but he usually somewhere in the letter says, we need to talk. Right? I hate that. I remember when I was, Kendra and I were dating, the most dreaded words that we could say to one another is, we need to talk. Well, that's what Paul does in the letter to the church at Corinth. He says, we need to talk. And so he starts in chapter 1 and he starts talking to them. He tells them who they are, which is really important. He lets them know that they are loved by God, that they belong to the church of God. He does not ever call into question whether or not the redeeming power of the blood of Christ is enough for them. Let me make that clear, okay? But they've got some stuff going on that needs to be fixed. And so one of the first things he says to this church is, In this matter, I have no praise for you. Another way of saying that, or as we would say it as kids, is, I'm not happy with you, right? You don't want to read these words, in this matter, I have no praise for you. In fact, let's read how he says it. In the following directive, I have no praise for you. You know what he's really saying here? This is kind of interesting, because if you'll pay attention to how Paul writes, when Paul writes, Paul usually starts with some way of telling them how they're doing something well. He will encourage them. He'll say something positive, and he'll slide into the but. You know, you're doing really good, but. And so this time he's like, in this directive, I don't have anything to say good. He said, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. And so when we read that part, it's like, ouch. Your meetings do more harm than good. Now, I want you to think about that statement. What must be going on there for their meetings to actually do more harm than good? And there's a lot of ways that could happen. But if you pay attention in Scripture, we see that their meetings did more harm than good in a lot of ways. Here we go. So early on in the Scripture, we see that their meetings do more harm than good. There's a part in the Scripture where at the beginning in chapter 1, he says there are divisions among you, which we're going to read about that again in just a minute. But in chapter 1, he's like, there are divisions among you. Some of you say, I'm of Paul, and others say, I'm of Apollos. Some of you say, I'm of Cephas. So you have to understand that this church is already fractured, right? And so he's like, your meetings, when you come together, you're doing more harm than good. And part of the reason is, we'll see in just a minute, is the fractions that's happening in you. Another part of it is that you have this tendency to have some people of honor and some people that you don't care about. In fact, that's what he says later, right? He's like, some of you are drunk and some of you are hungry. Like you get it, you're not taking care of one another. And so the title of today's lesson is literally putting community back in communion. Now, I told y'all that in the first century, the churches tended to come together for this purpose. They would have a meal together. Well, they would do it in houses. So you ever gone to a party at somebody's house? And I don't mean one of them crazy parties. I mean one of those parties where you just eat and enjoy each other's company. You ever done that? Nobody? Right? Those are fun. Like, you bring your little covered dish if you do it that way, or they have meal already prepared for you, and you walk in and you say your greetings. And so I want you to imagine that that's how we did church, which, by the way, would be a really cool way to do church. Potluck every Sunday. Right? Pot blessing, sorry. We would do a fellowship meal every Sunday, and y'all wouldn't pay attention, because every time that food comes in, the wafting of the smells, you're all like, and then you say what Tom said earlier, he'll be short today. But can you imagine? So this is the scene, right? People would come in with their food and they would share this food, but they had two rooms in these houses. There was one room for the important people. You know, the people you want to impress. You know, the people you really, that are of noble character. You know, the people that are, they're the ones with the money and the stuff, and they make everything happen. And so there's this place that they would come, and they apparently would come early, And they would eat, and they'd get full, and they'd get drunk. And then the rest of the church, when it got there was nothing left for them. There was no fellowship meal. There was an elitist meal, if it were. And so Paul writes this letter. He says, in this next directive, I have no praise for you because your meetings are doing more harm than good. Because I see that when you get together, there are divisions among you. Now, he's not talking about the Paul and Apollos and Cephas division. He's talking about a division of importance. So there were important people, and there were the rest of them. You ever been in a crowd like that where you just didn't feel like you belonged? And all of us, when we leave that kind of scenario, we leave there and we're like, man, I can't wait to do that again next week. Right? I mean, we don't approach it that way. So the divisions he's talking about is people would come in and feel like they didn't belong to anything. And I'm going to be honest with you, this happens in churches even today. This happens all the time. And in fact, I dare suggest, how many of you have ever been church shopping before? Anybody church shop before? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? You drive up and you park in this weird parking lot because no church parking is normal. And so you find this weird place to park and you're like, I don't even know if I'm supposed to park here. And then you walk in and you're looking around and you have those big eyes like, where do I go? Like, y'all know this feeling. If you've ever church shopped, you know this feeling. And some places you go and you're bombarded by people. That's freaky. But it's okay. And then some churches you go in and nobody tells you anything. I've told y'all this story. Kendra and I were church shopping. We moved back to Dallas for a little while. And we went to this one church. And we walked in and nobody said a word to us. Like, in fact, they gave us the old side eye. Do y'all know what side eye is? They just kind of... And then I know I sat in somebody's seat. I know I sat in somebody's seat. And I think I sat in the seat of the people who were right in front of me because they never even looked at me. So I was like, yeah, I'm sitting in their seat. I should move. But I didn't move because, well, I didn't want to. But what Paul is telling them is when you come together as a body, you all have something very in common. You're all redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no hierarchy in the church of Christ, in the church of God. In fact, the next thing he says to them is that the division among you, he even asks this question. He says, do you despise the church of God? Can you imagine being asked that question? Do you despise the church of God? He's had some rough language here. In fact, let's read that verse. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. I'm sorry, I skipped a whole point, but we'll get there. We'll come back to it. He says, do you not have homes to eat in, drink in, or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. One of the things that we need to realize when we come together, he brings this point up. He's like, when you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you're eating. So I put these emblems up here on purpose. Because in this little tray, we have bread. And in this little tray, we have the cup. Now, if I were to ask anybody in here what these are, I would probably get pretty close to the same answer, right? The bread represents... So you know. Do you know when they don't represent this? You know, there's a lot of theology out there about this, right? It only becomes this once we bless it. It only becomes this when we give thanks over it. It only comes this when somebody who has the right credentials blesses it. There's a lot of theology out there. Let me tell you when it doesn't become that. Let me tell you when it's not that. Let me tell you when it's not the Lord's Supper that we're partaking. And it may surprise you because one of the things, how many of you have ever heard this? If you aren't in the right place, mentally, spiritually, when you take the Lord's Supper, you are eating and drinking damnation to your soul. How many of you have heard that? Right? It's a terrible reading of this text. That's not what Paul's talking about. You know what he's actually talking about when he talks about the fact that you're doing it in vain or you're not taking the Lord's Supper, you're not partaking in the Lord's Supper? He's saying what you're doing is you're taking something that is holy and you're treating it as something that is common. It's just regular. And he's not talking about one of you doing this. He's talking about the church doing this. He's talking about the church meeting and getting drunk and getting full and leaving people hungry and thirsty. He's talking about that. You see, one thing you need to understand about the idea of communion is it was meant to be done in community. You can't do communion alone. It's not communion then. Are you with me on this? So he's talking to a group of people and he's saying, guys, this is not a personal thing. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I would go to church. And the reason we went to church growing up, true story, is to take communion. You know how I knew this? Because on those Sundays we were really busy and needed to miss church, we would go to church and we would wait for communion. Once it came by us, we would nicely, quietly sneak out the back door because we had done church. We missed the preaching, which I was always grateful for. Some of you might be too. But we would miss the preaching. We would miss the prayer. We would miss the rest of the singing. We would miss all of that, but we didn't miss communion. In fact, it was so important that you personally partake in this supper that when people wouldn't show up, we had a team that would go to shut-ins, and they would take it to them. Because if you don't eat and drink this, you're going to go to hell. This is really how people have viewed it. But the idea of communion starts with Jesus in an upper room. Do you remember what he says to his disciples? I desire to eat this with you. And the you there is not you, Peter, or you, John. It's y'all. I desire to eat this with y'all. I desire to be in community with y'all. And when we come together and there's divisions and there's factions and we don't even like each other, we don't talk, which, let me fix this. We don't even love each other. Because there's going to be a lot of times, if you're in a real family, there's going to be times you don't like each other. I don't really have a problem with that. I do have a problem when we don't love each other, when we don't care for one another. I may not like my wife at times. Not true. I always like my wife. I'm giving you an example because some of you may not be like me. Right. My wife and I are very close and we love each other, but there are times when she doesn't like me. It's true. We've talked about this. We know it's true. Never when I don't like her, but she doesn't like me sometimes. That's not true. But never would I not be there for her, to lift her up, to encourage her, to pray with her. There's never a time when I wouldn't be that for her. And I certainly wouldn't put her in the corner when I'm upset with her if we're having an event. You know what Jesus told them to do? To take the seat of dishonor and give the seat of honor to someone else. You know, that's the kind of faith system we're in, where it's all upside down and backwards. And you shouldn't look at me. In fact, if you've heard me say this before, but one of my hesitations in all of you calling me by my title is I don't want you to think that I'm above you. I don't want you to think that I somehow have this. In fact, you'll hear this all the time. I'll get prayer requests, right? Hey, preacher, will you send up a prayer for me because I know he listens to you before he listens to me. Well, that's not true, by the way. The Lord's open, his ears are open to all of us. But I want you to understand something. Like, I don't ever want you to think that I am the person who's sitting in the place of honor. My purpose is to serve you. It's what Jesus did with his own disciples. In fact, you remember the story when he actually instituted this? He does something in the middle of that institution. Do you remember what he does? I was going to do this for real, and I don't know if I can, but I'm going to try. He went down on his knees and he began to wash the feet of the very people that he was the rabbi of. You remember Peter? Peter was like, no, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, then you have nothing to do with me. And of course, Peter's like, wash all of me. That's Peter, right? What I want you to understand is that we should have this attitude of servitude when we come together. And that's what was missing here at the church in Corinth. They didn't have an attitude of servitude. They had an attitude of importance. So he goes on, I've already read this, but he says, when you're eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? Certainly not. The way we do communion is we carry this little tray around, and the amount of community that we enjoy, except for people who sit by themselves in the front row, wasn't picking on you. The community we enjoy is this. Most of us, if you're a good churchgoer, you do it humbly. I told y'all last week that one of the things that was cool to me is that there was a little bit of communing going on during communion. Now, I know some of you that makes you very uncomfortable, right? Because you grew up and communion is solemn. It's a time when we're to be quiet and honor and real still. You can hear a mouse run across the floor in communion. What if instead of us making noise for the sake of making noise, or talking because something's funny, or because it's hot in here, or whatever the case may be, what if we took that time, and whoever you're sitting with, whoever you're sitting next to, you share the truth about what we're passing. You know, one time I did this, and a lot of you were uncomfortable with this. I ask you, when you hand this to the person next to you, tell them the body of Christ. And it was so cool because the whole room kind of went up. I'm not going to tell you to do that today, but I do want you to share in this today. I want you to pass it to the person next to you and pray with them, bless them, talk to them. I don't care, but do it in a Christian fellowship way. Encourage one another. The body and the blood of Christ. Do you know how significant the body and the blood of Jesus Christ is to our faith? It's everything. If he doesn't die, we're not saved. If his blood isn't shed, our sins are not forgiven, and we're all still dead in our sins. What a glorious thing to proclaim that we are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are now the body of Christ. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? And yet, we have a tendency to make what should have been communal, personal. Let's make it communal today. Will my servers come up? Neil, grab your microphone. I want to do something. They're going to pass this out to you right now. Don't eat it. Just hold it. Okay? Go ahead and pass it. Don't eat it. Hold it. Chapter 12, as they're passing it out, in chapter 12, in verse 12, Paul says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. You are that one body. Here in Los Fresnos, at the Los Fresnos Church of Christ, we are a body, and we need each other. We need each other's skills and talents and abilities and gifts. We need each other. We need each other's humor. We need each other's emotions. We need each other. We are fulfilled as a body and broken as individuals. And so, once we get all of this passed out, I'm going to ask Neil to pray for this bread. And I want to challenge you to do something. And you can do it with the person you're right next to, person you came in with probably. But I want to challenge you to share with them what the body of Christ means to you. And it can be just one word, it can be multiple words. But I want you to commune with one another. I didn't get any bread. That was just...
Don't eat it.
Yeah, I forgot. Thank you. Neil, will you pray?
Dear Lord, as we take time to reflect on this unleavened bread, which represents the body that was sacrificed on Calvary for our sins, help us commune with one another on what it means, what it truly means from our heart. Help us understand that no greater gift than a man lay down his life for his friend, and that you are our friend, and that you gave up your life so that we might be able to live. Please bless those that partake. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to share with you all that there was a time when I counted the sacrifice of Jesus as a common thing. There was a time when I saw it as maybe even something he owed me. But now I realize that the blood or the body of Jesus Christ becoming flesh, living this perfect life, giving us an example to live by, now becomes my hope, my living hope. My servers. I'm going to stay up here this time. Yeah. Same thing. Hold on to it. Let's all drink it together. John 17 says, "The Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you.
For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those who have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave for me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed to you those whom you gave me out of this world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They know with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by your power and your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one with, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, that the scripture will be fulfilled. I am coming to you, but I say these things, and as I am still in the world, so that they may know the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, and they are not in the world anymore, then I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Jesus' desire was that we all be one. Neil.
Dear Lord, we all sometimes, many times, overlook this cup. It's become convenient. It's become repetitious. It's become nonchalant. In this great country, Lord, that we have days like President's Day and Veterans Day and Flag Day and Memorial Day, and the list goes on, and we take time out of our lives to remember the ones that have sacrificed before us and gave up their lives for this country, or their good deeds that they have built this country. Sometimes we celebrate their death or their accomplishments more than we do yours. And Lord, this wine which represents your blood, we do it out of remembrance, but out of celebration. Because of your death, we have a home with you in heaven. Lord, we ask that you help us reflect, get back to the basics, and understand that it's through your blood all things are made whole. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
It's very easy to make something that is holy common. It's very easy to make something that's important regular. Every week we partake of communion. But communion that we're called to is not only the partaking of the body and the blood on a weekly basis, but an understanding of how we come to share life together, how we care for one another and serve one another. Find a way this week to serve your brother and sister in Christ. Find a way this week to serve those who aren't here. They're sending around a trash can. Whew. I think the fall might have hurt a little bit. Let's pray. Father God, I am so very grateful to you that you've not only given us your Son, but you've given us one another. You've given us one another to grow with. You've given us one another to encourage each other, to stir one another up for love and good works. Father, we praise you that you have seen fit to put us in this place to worship together. Help us to not
leave our fellowship here in these doors, but to continue it throughout our lives and in everything that we do. Father, we praise you for all that you've done, and we praise you for what you're still doing in our lives. And we pray, Father, if anybody has not accepted your free gift through your Son, that today be the day that they surrender. Today be the day that everything changes. Father, we praise you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship team, you're already here.